Hi, y'all. Welcome to the Girls That Strap podcast, a podcast sharing the stories of inspirational females in STEM. Hi, Shweta. We are so excited to have you on the Girls Let's Chat podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an amazing opportunity.
So to start off, why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay, sure. Hi, my name is Shweta Tandri. I'm 18 years old and I live in Dallas, Texas. And I'm really passionate about using digital media to further STEM education to reduce inequities in STEM. And one of the ways I do that is that I'm the founder of Melodies for Math, which is a YouTube channel project that explains various high school math concepts through original songs in order to make math more relatable and engaging. So that's the main gist of what I do. I also really, really love computer science. That's what I'm going to end up majoring in college as of now. And right now I'm learning how to code educational video games, and I code websites for nonprofits.
That's amazing. So while you were introducing yourself, you talked about Melodies for Math, which leads me to my second question, which is, why did you start Melodies for Math?
I guess looking back on where my on how my life started and what I was interested, I felt like it was only a matter of time before I started something like this. But music was a really, really huge part of my life, and it still is. I remember when I was two, my mom told me that I always used to communicate with people through music. I had like a song for every person. So I thought that was really interesting. And I think in regards to combining music and math, that started way back in seventh grade, where I had to explain standard form, the equation, when I took Algebra 1. And I thought, you know what, why don't I write a song parody for it? Because I love listening to music and it takes me to another world. So I thought, I wanted to take other people to a different world through one of their favorite songs. So I wrote a parody explaining standard form, and I uploaded it on YouTube, and it actually did really well in terms of views. It reached over 1,000 views, and some people left comments saying that the video helped them. So I thought I wanted to write more educational songs. So later I wrote parodies in middle school, and then I went to high school. And I was just trying to get used to how high school works and the schedule. But then I realized that in all my math classes, a lot of the system with the teachers and the students, like, we're all focused more on the answer instead of the process and truly understanding. And music is truly like a language, a way of communicating. So that's why I revived my interest in combining music and math. And I wanted to write songs that made people excited to learn about math. So I started it in March 2020. And it was really helpful that I had a lot of free time on my hands because they closed down the schools and they made everything online. So I started it in March and we're still going strong.
That's awesome. So which leads me to my next question. What is the mission statement for Melodies for Math?
Ooh, well, I guess the mission statement for Melodies for Math is that we strive in order to explain math through original songs that we write in order to make math more engaging and to show people that math is a creative energy and it's a creative outlet. So math doesn't necessarily have to be something purely analytical. It can also be something creative. So that's the gist of our mission statement, is we want to empower people's creativity to really challenge themselves through this creative energy, which is mathematics. And we're explaining mathematics through an art that uses patterns. So it's all really full circle, because like when we deconstruct our most popular songs, they have patterns to them when it comes to the lyrics and the music. So we just want to use math as a creative energy to unlock other people's creative energies. So,
wow, Melodies for Math is really an amazing educational initiative.
Yeah, I just feel like I finally found a huge part of who I was through starting this project, because before Melodies for Math, I started a bunch of other projects, but then I felt like they weren't truly me. And with Melodies for Math, I feel like it is, because I really love the process of creation, and this is what Melodies for Math allows me and my team to do.
So the next question I have is for you, what are some current projects and initiatives going on currently in Melodies for Math?
So right now, in terms of projects, what we're doing is we're trying to write songs for almost every single important concept in Algebra 1 or high school algebra, so that once we have a full curriculum in place, it'd be a lot easier to pitch our content to schools and for various students who stumble upon our channel to be able to find multiple videos that can give them what they need. Another thing that we're doing is we're also trying to make these day in the life YouTube videos where I and a couple of my team members, we can make like behind the scenes videos talking about what we do behind the scenes and how we write songs or edit videos, because we're really trying to experiment with the type of content that we're uploading onto YouTube. So our main focus is our YouTube channel. So right now we're trying to get as many songs / videos out there as possible and try to experiment with other types of content we can make and really try to humanize it, because our videos don't really show our faces in it. And so we want to really bring out the human aspect as well, that we're high school students. Well, we have one college student on our team, but like essentially we are students working behind the scenes to make things better for other students.
So now that it's been a couple months that Melodies for Math has started, what is the most important thing that you have learned?
Wow, it's really been a journey. But one of the important things that I've learned is that everyone has so much potential to succeed. And sometimes it can feel, you may feel vulnerable putting your content out there. I know I did, because I'm putting it online, and who knows, there may be people who see your content all over, and some people may vibe with it, and some people might not necessarily do that, and it may feel very, very scary at first. But I guess what I learned in my mind is if I don't do it, my brain's going to tell me that I'm basically going to regret it for the rest of my life. So sometimes whenever something is hard for me to do, it's just, I just feel like I need to go on with it anyway. And there may be a tingling feeling, you know, in my chest with me thinking, oh no, what have I done? What's going to happen to me? But then it all ends up working out. I guess what I learned is being vulnerable is okay. And it's important to really still push forward regardless, to really combat whatever fears we may have. And that's what Melodies for Math taught me, the most important thing. And I put this into other initiatives that I'm working on as well.
So now, what advice do you have for people who would also like to start an educational initiative?
I would just say go for it. No matter if you think your idea is crazy or you think that you can't do it, or if you have any of these thoughts in your mind, education is really, really empowering, because it allows people to unlock their creative potential, and they can create these really amazing solutions to problems. So I guess one advice that I may have is to just is to truly think about why you're doing it. But I guess that's kind of what I would say for any type of initiative.
And while we are on the topic of education, what changes would you like to see in the education system?
What changes I would like to see in the education system is that I want it to be more, you know, creative-based instead of standardized. Because right now I feel like with school and all the curriculum that we're doing, everything's really standardized. Everyone's doing the same thing, and while that might have some a grounding in practicality, one type of curriculum or one system that works well for one person might not work well for another person. So I think it's important for everyone to truly tap into what makes them them. So that's what I want to see in the educational system. I want there to be more of an emphasis on the fact that that about how, like, STEM doesn't necessarily have to be just STEM, and art doesn't have to be just art. Everything can just be a great, colorful blob of everything. And I think that this is really, really important because as things are getting more mechanized with development of AI and other smart technologies, human creativity is more important than ever because these machines can now do mechanized jobs that were once done by people. So now more than ever, it's important for more people to have access to education and tap into creativity because I think that that's what people do best. And no matter how much a machine's trained, I think that people just have that passion and that drive that I feel like an AI could not have. So I guess, but so once we modernize education to really focus on creativity, group work, and just the whole, like, limitless possibilities, then we can really take some strides forward into making the changes that we've always wanted to make.
I totally agree. I also think that education should totally be creative as well. So while we are also on this topic, how did you come to realize that math is a creative energy?
It was actually a very recent realization. So one time I was just checking my email, and then Superposition Fremont asked me to do a workshop related to mathematics for their STEAM Week event. And so I was thinking, how would I give a presentation on mathematics? It's too broad of a topic. And if I were to focus on calculus or trigonometry or statistics, it would depend on how much on the knowledge that my audience has. And I didn't really want to assume anything. So I was in the stage in which I didn't know what I wanted to present about. But then later I kind of realized that with Melodies for Math, what I'm doing is I feel this huge creative burst whenever I do anything related to Melodies for Math, and we have music and art together. So that's so since I'm representing Melodies for Math, I kind of wanted to talk about both my interests in STEM and art and the whole interdisciplinary nature of it. So I just looked up, but before that, I realized that a common question that we hear all the time is how math relates to daily life. So I wanted to answer that in my presentation too. So I just looked that up on Google, and then I went to Google Images, and that completely changed my life because I saw all these beautiful mathematics in nature patterns whether they were in the leaves or the seashells, and I was just like, wow, these patterns are what determine almost everything in the universe. And it's very indirect, and on all around us we see these patterns. So that's kind of the approach that I wanted to take. But although we do see patterns analytically, we also see them in a much more, you know, creative sphere, because I saw Fibonacci poems, which were poems that were written with the syllables of the Fibonacci sequence. And there are also math paradoxes, like Gabriel's wedding cake, which is just a bunch of cylinders stacked on each other, that if you use calculus and you find that there's a fixed volume, but there's an infinite surface area, and your mind's just blown, you're like, wow, how is that possible? There are a bunch of other math paradoxes out there. And even within Melodies for Math, our songs have a set structure to it that only when I started to deconstruct our songs, I saw all of these patterns. And they have a cognitive effect on our minds. So patterns are around us every day. And even within statistics, the whole purpose of statistics is to make stories out of raw data that we find. So this, like, inner energy, which are these patterns, we've discovered it, and then we've condensed it and formulated it into what we now know as mathematics. So it was just a lot. It was just a huge burst of energy that just happened in my brain. And then afterwards, it was really easy for me to make this presentation. But it also helped me see Melodies for Math in a different light. And it helped me, and it had helped us reevaluate our mission statement. Because before, I think when I thought about our mission statement, it was just to propel more people into STEM careers. But now I'm thinking, wow, math is a creative energy, and now I want people to really see that math is a creative energy and help others find their own creative energies. So, yeah.
That's amazing. So, who do you look up to?
I look up to Sal Khan, the founder of Khan Academy. Khan Academy is one of my major inspirations for founding this Melodies for Math channel. But I just love his videos. They've saved me so many times. He's made the videos for calculus, for economics, and I really love the idea that that there should be free educational resources, because sometimes people may not be able to afford to pay for tutors, but that probably shouldn't stop people from getting educated. And also, if I have this random topic that I want to know about, I can just look it up on Khan Academy, and they probably have a video on it. So I also look up to Malala, because she's just a pioneer for education and for females to get educated. Because another reason that I believe that, you know, everyone should be educated is because everyone has their own life experiences that make up their story. Someone may believe something, but you might not know why they believe that way unless you know their entire story. And once you mesh education into that person's story, they might have their own vision on what changes they would like to make, and education will give them the tools to do that. So Malala pushed really hard for females to be educated, and that's important because once females are educated, that's one step closer to everyone being educated, and for everyone to share their stories and bring their stories to the table, or even flip the table. Because I remember I saw this quote saying that Gen Z will flip the table. So I'm really looking forward to that. I guess one other person I could mention whom I look up to is, I guess before I mention it, I can say that one of my dream schools is Stanford. I just applied to colleges right now because I'm a high school senior. But one thing I love about Stanford is they are really big on learning and just learning for the sake of learning and having fun while learning. And I could really see that in their prompts. So one of their professors is Dr. Doug James. And he is really big on computer science, mathematics, and visual arts, and all these patterns. And he worked for Pixar, I believe. And I just love Pixar. And the recent movie that they released, Soul, I watched it. I like it. So I just want to be able to use these mathematical patterns to make games eventually, video games that'll get people more interested in education. So I think that professors who like that at Stanford will definitely, I just feel really moved by what they do and really inspired by them. So.
From what you were talking about earlier, I totally agree. Malala is such a truly inspirational person. Which another question I have for you is, what are some challenges you have faced as a female who is in STEM?
I guess within my hometown, home city, I guess whenever I used to go to the, I took computer science classes every single year of high school, except 12th grade. So I've done it in 9th, 10th, and 11th. And a lot of those classes mostly just had guys in it. And there weren't that many girls in my CS classes. So I guess I felt a little out of place sometimes. Another challenge I faced was my school didn't offer any web development classes. So I didn't know that web development, I didn't know much about it. But after finding other females in STEM online who were doing web development, that really inspired me to take this forward. And one time I tried to join the AI club around 2 years ago. And I don't know if the guys really, really meant it or were joking, but I think they said something along the lines of, "Why did you come?" or something like that. I don't remember, but I just felt really kind of hurt by it. And so I just thought that we need to have more females in CS and all the other STEM fields too, because I at some points I just kind of felt like I didn't really belong, and that kind of influenced my decision of being a little iffy about STEM and computer science, at least until now, where I rediscovered it through my passion for education.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that, but you have accomplished so much, and Melodies for Math is truly amazing. So,
oh, thanks.
Of course. So, for other females who are also interested in STEM but are scared of getting their feet wet, what advice do you have?
So, what if there's one thing I learned from doing STEM, it's just that STEM has limitless possibilities. So there may be a perception that STEM may be all analytical, but I believe that there's a place for everyone in STEM. Even within computer science alone, there's so many things that we can do. So it may look intimidating at first, but I guess what I'm saying is, and you may feel vulnerable doing it, but this is probably this is probably your chance to step up and do what you've always wanted to do. So I guess what I'm going to say is just ignore the haters. They're always going to be there, no matter what. It's just you trying to rise above it all and do what you truly want to do. And I don't know, I guess that there's always going to be people and obstacles. I guess that's kind of just a factor of life. But I just feel like don't hold back on something that you're going to regret later. If you know that you're going to regret not doing something later, just go forward with it and just see what happens.
So while we're on this topic, have you experienced imposter syndrome? And if so, what advice do you have?
Every single day I've experienced it. Well, actually not every... Well, I experience it very frequently, and I guess sometimes I don't even know if what I'm feeling is imposter syndrome, but I think there was this one time that I got this award for my work with Melodies for Math, but then I kind of felt like after looking at all the other awardees, I felt like I didn't really deserve it, so I did feel imposter syndrome. So what advice I have for it is sometimes I take social media breaks. I would recommend it. Social media can be very, very toxic sometimes. And another thing I would recommend is that I'm really, really big on manifestation and meditation. I meditate twice a day. And I do this Indian meditation called Isha Kriya. It's a 12-minute meditation, and it's really interesting because you have to repeat these phrases in which you're saying, I'm not the body and I'm not even the mind, and I'm like, what? Then what am I? So essentially it's just saying that know that everyone's battle is different, your journey is different, everyone else's journey is different. And what that meditation taught me is that we are ultimately like one part of like an amazing universe at work, and the sooner we learn to let go of more material successes and chasing after certain things, then I felt more at peace with my mind, and if I felt at peace with my mind, I feel happier, and I'm able to achieve my goals the way I would like to do it. So I guess my advice would be is to truly disconnect from all the toxicity that may be around, and to just focus on the fact that your life is different, your journey is different. Everything that happened to you so far is happening for the greater good for yourself. And yeah, etc.
Awesome. And why is it important? While we're on this topic, why is it important to be a go-getter?
I feel like it's important to be a go-getter because I always felt that you're never too young to make a difference. So whenever I see a change in my community, I always want to work hard to make it better. And there are so many communities worldwide. So if we all pitch together, with that mindset that we can have a better future, like, if we all give our best, then if we all work towards a common goal, I believe that we can all achieve it. And being a go-getter can come in different forms. So you could be, there are ways that you can be a go-getter while being more extroverted or being more introverted. It's just making sure to push your limits and do what you can to solve whatever problems you can around you in your community. And for me, I personally know that I would regret it if I didn't really do anything. And I have a kind of you only live once kind of mindset right now in regards to my in regards to being a go-getter, that I only have one life to really, really step up and make life better for our future generations. That's also another reason why it's important to be a go-getter, because whatever work that we do will lead to a better life for the people who come after us. So that's also a big thing.
So my final question for you is there anything you would like to say or add before we finish this podcast?
So I guess what one thing I would like to say is continuing on the manifestation. I believe that the weirdest things can happen at the most random times. That's one thing, because I never expected that I would start Melodies for Math and that my entire life would completely shift. So I guess one thing I'd like to say is to seize every opportunity that you can get, and just to follow your heart, because it can take you places. It really can. And everyone's journey is different. I would also really like to emphasize that, because sometimes comparisons can be very, very, very unhealthy. And someone else may discover what they would like to do before you, but everyone has their own journey, and I truly believe that everyone's time will come. And when that time comes, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. You're going to do what you've always wanted to do. Sometimes patience is key to that, but it's coming.
Okay. Thank you so much, Shweta, for chatting with us on the Girls Let's Chat podcast. I have been truly inspired by everything you've said today, all the advice you've given, and your work with Melodies for Math.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It was really cool to get to talk to get to talk to you guys.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it, and follow us on Instagram at Girls Let's Chat to get updates on when we release episodes. And again, thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.